Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone. Panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Video Games Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host Reiner. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Big day.
I am hopped up on coffee. I am ready for tonight.
Yeah.
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2.
Launching at 11 p.m.
Launching at 11 p.m. Central, right? That's midnight Eastern.
Yep.
But numerous reports saying the servers are already online. If you can find your way to a copy of it, then the servers are live.
On PS4, it sounds like.
You can download.
Xbox One. I have it on Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's not working.
It's not working on Xbox One yet. So we're T-minus 4 hours. Or so away from Destiny 2. We talked about we played the beta. We talked about that a fair amount just last show. Out today, we've seen a lot of gaming sites are doing sort of running impressions, doing early impressions. Nobody's doing a full complete review yet, and you guys aren't either.
No,
but you've had people playing it all day, and people at GameInformer.com can watch along.
Yeah, and the big unknown about how the story is kind of sewn into the campaign of Destiny 2 has been answered, and it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
It sounds like this story is easy to follow, and it's there in the game, unlike Destiny 1.
How about that? There's nobody that could explain the Destiny 1 story in any way that makes any sense to anybody, if you even think you know it. It was pasted together in bits and pieces, and it was never very clear. That was gripe number one about Destiny 1 was the lack of a cohesive story and a narrative to kind of propel you forward from mission to mission to mission.
Yeah, you're setting up a new science fiction universe, and the one thing you miss is the reason you're there.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of important.
So the new game, they really scaled back the story on this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's following this bad guy, of all things, named Dominus Gall. If you're born in your name Dominus Gall,
you have to go on to conquer the universe.
You have to.
You have no choice.
But he is going after the Traveler. He's taken down the tower from Destiny 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's going after the Traveler to try to get the power. He's upset that the Guardians ended up bestowing power to humanity.
Right.
He thinks it should have gone elsewhere.
Well, we're an inferior race and all.
Correct. I mean, he's like 10 feet tall or something like that.
Yes.
So that is the basic gist of this story, and it's humanity fighting back, right? Like, that is all you need to know about, and from there, it's just, what I understand, a pretty cool roller coaster ride through the cosmos.
Yeah, many people saying the story, from what they've seen so far, is already a lot better. The quality of the storytelling is on a whole different level. I know they basically fired the original storytellers from the people who script wrote the first one, and they brought in a whole new team that have totally changed the quality of the storytelling. And they've also said that the game now kind of seamlessly moves you from event to event through the narrative. And it's less like you're just doing one quest and then I'll just stop, pick up, and just go do an unrelated quest next and then stop and pick up. The narrative sort of guides you from quest to quest, and it flows a lot more organically.
If you want to do that, you also have the option. There's a map in this game for the first time.
Yeah, how about that? Finally.
Reveals like hidden chests, mm-hmm. different things to do, of which there are a lot of things. Side missions, public events,
yeah,
hidden dungeons. So there
my
is
favorite kind of dungeon.
So yeah, they want you to go out and explore this world as well as experience this new form of storytelling that they have in Destiny 2.
The public events now, you know, now that you have a map, you can see where this public event is starting and everybody can go congregate to it and then try to solve whatever, you know, this event is. And then if you do well enough, you can unlock a heroic difficulty level within the public event. And that gives you even far greater loot if you're able to get through that. And I like the way that that sounds. New online modes as well in Destiny 2. Countdown mode. Defenders must try to kill their opponents before the attackers can set one of two charges. And then you have to defuse a charge if it has been set. So that's one of the two new online modes. And then the survival mode is an elimination style offering in which each squad starts with a shared pool of 8 total respawns. And then once you use up the 8, it's over. And now death's permanent.
So don't play with your charge.
No, God, no. I'd use 8 in the first 8 minutes.
Yeah, I'll have my one guy.
Exactly.
That's it.
I'll just run into a corner so to just avoid using up all the respawns.
There's also in the campaign something called adventures that are not campaign missions, but they are just as complex and lengthy.
So they're side missions with all the complexity of full campaign
missions. They tell their own little stories, too.
Really?
So not only is there one big, huge narrative, there are side stories.
Wow, that's super cool. I love the sound of that. In a nutshell, what everybody's saying is, if you take everything you liked in Destiny 1, it's still here. The super tight gunplay, the mechanics of it. Bungie's always been awesome at this, going all the way back to Halo 1, for Pete's sake. And then everything you didn't like, they either stripped out or vastly improved. Everything I'm reading so far from the early impressions is universally positive. Reiner, I think this thing is going to be scoring between 9.5 and 10.
Whoa.
Almost across the board.
We'll see.
Just based on what everybody's saying right now.
Yeah, but late game in these games and PvP are big components. The Crucible mode was 6v6. Six players versus six players. Now it's down to 4v4. We'll see how the community embraces that. And then other changes. Like, I love this about Bungie as a developer. They're not afraid to make changes. They've now divided the weapons up into 3 slots, where you have kinetic, energy, and power. Kinetic relates to anything that fires, like, physical bullets, anything like that. Energy, they burn. You know, that is something that you can use to for arc, solar, and void damage. So if you're taking down shields or you need a little bit of an effect to help you in a certain battle, you can do that. And then the last one, power, is, you know, they're basically the special weapons that you can kind of bring into the fray. So that is a big change in its own
and
how you're going to use your firearms. Like you said, Destiny has some of the best combat around
it
in
does.
Terms of control.
Yes.
But now there's this new layer of complexity that you can bring to the battle, which is very cool.
Also new in Destiny 2. By the way, quick side note. Zach, be ready to talk giveaways in just a minute. In Destiny 2, this is the first time that I think this is the first ever Bungie game to go on PC. Certainly Destiny 1 definitely wasn't. I can't remember.
Not till late October, though.
Not till late October. So the PC version is in the works. Let me say this, though, about the PC version. I have not seen the console version with my own two eyes. I've just seen videos. So you can help try to counteract this or counterbalance this, I should say. The PC version looked stunning to the point that it's hard to play because I'm looking at the graphics going, oh my God, the PC version was as beautiful looking as anything I've seen on my PC, that good looking. And so the temptation for me is to hold out and wait and play it on PC, which, you know, the purists would all say keyboard mouse is better anyway.
If this game starts getting tens, are you going to be able to hold off?
I don't know. That's going to be hard.
I am hearing some early reports of the game freezing and crashing on PS4 Pro.
Oh, really?
Not on PS4, but just PS4 Pro. So there's something going on there. I don't know if that's maybe just pre-release stuff.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait to see once
the Pro's got too much power.
Yeah, when it officially launches at 11 p.m., if that's still the case.
Now,
there's a patch.
Were you looking at it on PlayStation? Were you looking at it on the Pro or just the regular 4 or the Xbox?
We were just looking at it at work on the PS4.
The standard.
Yes.
Okay, how did Destiny 2 look?
Looked great.
It looked great.
Yeah, I mean...
But was it like staggeringly great? Like I feel like I saw on the PC, or was it just, wow, this looks nice?
It looks nice. My socks were still on, Charge.
Okay.
My jaw was still up.
Yeah.
Nothing blew me away in that capacity. It just looked really good. Like, a really nicely polished AAA game.
Okay. I think that'll be it'll be hard for PC gamers to hold off, but I think those that do will be rewarded with an awfully beautiful game.
That is where the biggest player base is on PC. I wonder how many people do hold off, if that's going to affect kind of the first week
console
of Destiny
sales a little bit. Yeah. Do we know the date for the PC release? How is it?
October 26th.
Oh, it's like that's 2 months, not really even 1 month. That's 7 weeks from now.
That's what I'm saying. If this starts getting tens and nine,
I know. How are you supposed to hold off then?
And all your friends are raving about
it? I know, and they're playing. Then what do I do?
What if you buy it twice, play a different class on console?
Speaking of buy it twice.
October 24th, by the way.
Thank you. So that is the better part of 7 weeks from now. Speaking of buy it twice, I may have alluded to this last week when we were talking about Skyrim coming for Switch and VR. There's a chance I will have bought it six times. If I get it for Switch and VR, I'll be up to six. That's ridiculous.
Wait, what other systems do you have it on? PC?
PC for Skyrim 1 and the remastered version on it, right? Got it on the 360. Got it on the PS4.
How much of the PS4 version did you play?
Almost none.
Then buy it again.
It was super cheap, but it was super cheap, and I thought, you know what? And I bought it primarily for my daughter, who's now, you know, of age to play it. And we did play it a little bit, but then with it knowing it's coming for Switch and VR, I'm like, I don't want to get deep into this thing when I want to play it on Switch and VR. So we had mentioned last week that there'd been reports about it looking really, really bad on Switch, but then they brought it out to PAX this past weekend. And it runs great. I got all these videos of people playing at PAX that I'm watching, and Skyrim looks fantastic. It's running perfectly smoothly on the Switch.
But, I mean, for a game like this, the first question you have to ask is what footage or what area of the game was shown. You know, like what was going on the screen. Did they show off something that runs a little smoother?
I watched like 10 minutes. I just watched 10 minutes.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
It totally looked legit.
We'll see. We'll see what happens when reviews come out. Because even when that game launched on PS3 and 360, Chug City, right? Like,
The PS3 had all kinds of problems. The 360 version ran pretty cleanly, as I recall.
20 frames a second sometimes.
Now, by the way, now that we're, 6 years removed from Skyrim's launch, the modders have done unbelievable work with Skyrim. If you've got a reasonably high-quality gaming rig PC... Man, what the modders have done to that game. It's breathtaking how much work and effort people have put into that. Now, Bethesda just opened up their paid mod thing again, which has created a big stir in the community too.
Creators Club.
They tried this like 9 months ago, and it got, I don't know if it was just the torrent of hate shut it down, or how it didn't end up working. Now they've brought it back to try to make it so that you have to pay to get mods.
Yes.
People don't want to pay to get mods when they've had it free all this time.
Yeah, I don't know what Bethesda's thinking with this at all. Like, I'm baffled they're trying this again.
Do they need more money at Bethesda?
Maybe. Prey and
apparently.
Maybe didn't sell. We'll see how this goes. I know some people are saying, like, if they already bought the season pass.
Mm-hmm.
Should they be able to get the Creation Club stuff for free because Bethesda is calling it DLC and the season pass says you get all of the DLC?
Right.
So there's some dispute there, some very terse words being said in YouTube videos I've been watching. It's something we're investigating right now to see if there's anything there, but I'm guessing there's not. I'm sure there's legal language that says otherwise, but right there, you know, faith in that company is kind of falling off a little bit, and hopefully this doesn't create another rift between Bethesda and its Skyrim community.
No, I hope not. People on Twitter are telling me that they're downloading Destiny 2 on the PS4 right now. So
PS4
is still it's game on.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Probably not. No. Although, funny, is it Sony or Microsoft that has the Destiny 2 bundle?
That's Sony. Who has the DLC first?
Who's got the DLC first? Sony.
Sony.
And who happened by accident to allow people in to play Destiny 2 a day early? Sony.
I mean, if you are a console holder and you're like, okay, we have the first big game of the fall coming out.
Yeah.
Comes out, Bungie already has it all uploaded on the system and all that. Comes out officially at 11 p.m., hey, Scott, why don't you just activate it now? We'll just kind of screw over Microsoft and PC in the process.
Right.
We'll say we're sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Zach.
Yes, sir.
We are available for phone calls. We'd like to hear people's thoughts on Destiny or other video game-related topics. We haven't had a 30-second review in a couple of weeks. What can contributors win today?
We have a pair of prizes here. The Balloon Pop Dice Game makes a return. You can get one of those. Or the Polk Audio Striker headset for PS4.
Those are both two of our long-standing giveaways. We appreciate everybody that's contributed to that. Undead Viking, nice enough to give us the from Tasty Minstrel Games, which is awfully nice. And so we've got plenty more to get to, including, Reiner, you authored a new review for a brand new game. I think it went live today.
I think it's the most anticipated game of this generation.
Knack 2.
That's right.
Knack, for those of us that bought a PlayStation at launch.
And
PlayStation 4
at
launch. That's right. Well, you may remember Knack from such console launches as PlayStation 4. We'll tell you about that. Also, Game Informer had a cover reveal today for Middle Earth Shadows of War, the sequel to Shadow of Mordor. We'll talk about that a little bit. We talked a little bit about everybody's golf last week, but now I've put a bunch of reps into it, so I want to talk about that a little bit more, too. So plenty to get to between now and the top of the hour.
FM 100.3. The Fan.
Welcome back to Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Ciarchi and Reiner with you. Game Informer, GameInformer.com. Before we get away too far away from Destiny 2, which we just spent a whole segment on, let's get in a call or two on that topic. David, hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's on
How
your
you
mind?
Doing, Church?
Hi, good,
well,
thank you.
I was just wondering, with Destiny 2 coming out.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you think it's going to have this type of staying power with releasing new different things about it like Overwatch does? Because the thing that I love about the Overwatch community and that when PC game companies like Blizzard come out with a console game, I'm wondering if Destiny is going to kind of take a piece of that formula and come out and just kind of release things and keep people playing it. That's not normally like how regular console games come out.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. That is their plan, is to have a steady stream of content, whether that's new raids. I think there's one launching next week. So just a week after launch, they're going to have new content for you if you flew through everything in the game. But then they will also have expansion packs. Some will be free. Others will likely be paid as the game goes along, just like Destiny 1. I'm guessing they'll follow that model. It was pretty popular for them, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see more kind of free instanced content like the raids or, you know, public events, stuff like that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is awesome just because, like, I feel like Overwatch is still as popular as it almost ever was.
It's had tremendous legs for a game that's now a year and a few months old. I mean, most games don't make it that long.
No, I play it every night.
How about that?
With my friends every night.
I was playing it like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, how about that? Thank you for the call, David. I'll throw you on hold. We do have sports news of note. Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension has been upheld by Harold Henderson. He was the league arbitrator. So as it stands right now, Zeke's suspension, it's game on, not game off. It's game on for the suspension, game off for Zeke. So, but that doesn't mean that this thing's over yet. First, we don't know. It's possible that that the ruling came late enough that the league will let him play in week one and then go 6 games. But also, this doesn't mean that Zeke's legal team can't get a court-ordered injunction to stop the suspension pending a legal system process for Zeke. So it's not over quite yet. We'll find out but for at least in the short term, obviously, this is not what Ezekiel Elliott and his team, and frankly, what fantasy owners wanted to hear either. So some news there that I wanted to be sure to pass along. Let's work in another call. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. What's on your mind?
So I've been waiting for a while for this now. I know it's kind of a probably forgotten subject, but the PvP for Ghost Recon Wildlands, when is that actually supposed to be dropping? Does anybody even have any info on that?
I haven't heard anything new.
you know, Ubisoft's usually good about getting content out and keeping players up to speed on the kind of the, you know, the new things going on with each new game. They've been great with Rainbow Six, but I have not heard a lot regarding Wildlands. As popular as it's been, they haven't given us a lot of info.
In late July, they had Ubisoft had said that the PvP open beta was going to come soon, but you know, here we are 2 months later. So, you know, apparently, you know, they have a different idea of soon from what we expect, but
nothing new, I'm afraid. A good now. I remember, Reiner, you were kind of lukewarm on it. You liked it, but you didn't love it. Chris, apparently you loved Ghost Recon enough that you're still sticking with it. Now, what, a year later?
Yeah, I mean, they've been spoon-feeding us these little updates with DLC. I mean, they've been fun, but then they kind of fizzle out after a while. So it's like, I think they know everyone wants to play their PvP, and they're just dragging it along. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know a lot of publishers don't like stepping on the releases of other games they had. They just released Mario and Rabbids for Switch. They have Assassin's Creed coming out soon. I know they watch the calendar. With stuff like this, with betas, they can activate them pretty quick. And I'm guessing they're probably looking for the best window possible where they can get some players interested in this. Obviously, this week would be a terrible time to release it with Destiny 2 out there.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So hopefully soon means this year. I'm guessing it might be in late September when I look at the calendar where there might be a window. But, yeah, you don't want to go into October or November. That is when everything is coming out, the big holiday rush.
Yeah, timing is everything. Well, thanks for...
Yes, I'm going to put you on hold, Chris. You can pick up one of our giveaways tonight. I thought it was a year ago that it came out. It was half a year ago. It was March, early March. Yeah. So it feels like it kind of fell off the map quickly.
Well, it's when Switch came out. Yeah,
and it did. It got buried by the Switch as well, for sure. You did a review for Knack 2. Knack 1 was a launch title that received universally ho-hum reviews. In fact, that might even be generous.
Well, I mean, that is the prototypical launch title, right? Like,
yeah.
There is so much mediocrity in any given launch. Don't look at the Switch with Zelda coming out. Yeah, that is
right.
A rarity.
That is rare.
But yeah, it was kind of like this game that showed off the power of PS4 with, you know, mm-hmm. the character made up of hundreds of polygons. Looked very cool. It was definitely something you couldn't get out of console gaming in the previous generation. A character with that much detail and that much going on.
Yeah, for people that don't know, and you have no reason to remember Knack 1, You play as like a little robot guy who has all these little particles that attach to him, and then he can sort of deconstruct all those particles to get real small, or pull them all together to get real big.
Yeah, so the difference in height is 2 feet 6 inches to 32 feet.
Yes.
So he can be a little guy that's struggling in combat, or this giant that's just throwing people around.
Right.
That is a cool dynamic, a great premise for a game, a series. That sounds fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really harness that or tap into that potential in the first game, and that was the problem. It was just kind of a mindless brawler that was really difficult, and it went on for way too long, just kind of one-note combat over and over and over. Periodically, you'd see, like, oh, that's cool to be big, you know, being small and stealthy, that's neat. But they were just these sections kind of far removed after three-hour chunks of grinding through this combat. This new sequel... They thought about that. They listened to the player base, and they change up the play style. Like, every 20, 30 seconds, it's bouncing from one thing to the next. Very chaotic. There is no... It doesn't really settle into a groove. Knack 2, one of the strengths is, again, the combat, but at the same time, it's variety and how varied those challenges are.
And in Knack 2, you've got not just combat, but you have puzzle solving, and you've got platforming.
Correct. Yeah, and if you are a fan of... the Jack and Daxter games, or Ratchet and Clank, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon. There's a unifying theme through all these games. They are all touched by a legendary game creator, Mark Cerny. He is also working on Knack.
Oh, no kidding.
You can see those influences, moments of those games littered throughout Knack 2. And all those segments work really well. They have very liberal checkpoints, almost too much so. Like, you fall off one ledge and they put you at the beginning of that ledge you fall off.
All right. Okay.
So it can be challenging at times, but at the same time, it's maybe way too forgiving in that capacity.
Yeah.
But I had a blast playing this. I didn't want to put it down. It just rolled along nicely. It has one huge problem, though.
I've got a quote in my notes. Can I read it?
Oh, go for it.
Knack, who's your main character, this is your quote. He's as unlikable a character as I've seen in a game. That's saying a lot.
And there would be these really heroic, over-the-top, like, story break cutscenes where, you know, it's almost like Mission Impossible in slow motion, and he's mm-hmm. doing these amazing feats. And I'm just laughing at how dumb he looks as a character. I mean, he does just look like a pile of building blocks assembled into humanoid form.
Yeah.
And his eyes are outlined in gold. Like, he's terrible. He really is. And whenever he talks, you're just like, I don't know if he should be talking more or less. Like, he's awful. Just so dry and deadpan.
And you've got a bunch of companions that are around, and apparently those relationships are extremely dull as well.
Yeah, I mean, they bring back the characters from the first game, like, you're supposed to care about them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just kind of there walking around with you. Every once in a while, they'll point out, like, oh, this building is from such and such a time, when you're like, okay, there's some world building, but
yeah,
the world itself, who cares about this place? Who cares about Knack?
Nobody.
The villains end up kind of stealing the spotlight.
They're better than Knack.
Yeah, and they're doing really bad things and yeah. unexpected things at times. And that's where the story kind of shines, is through them, not through any of the heroes. Whenever they're on screen, you're just like, ugh, bring back the bad guys. Or get to combat again.
But you gave Knack a pretty good score. 8.25 out of 10.
It is a really, really fun game. And get this.
Yeah.
Couch co-op. Done really well. Drop in and out. As easy as can be.
Wow,
and,
all right.
And it enhances the game. So if you're playing two-player, you get new moves where you're using each other to attack the enemy, which is very cool.
That's outstanding. When we come back, that's Knack 2. You can read the full review at GameInformer.com. When we come back, we've got several phone calls to get to. We may touch on the cover reveal from next month's Game Informer, Middle-Earth Shadow of War, the sequel to Shadow of Mordor, which was a huge hit 3 years ago. Is it 3 years ago?
Really? Is it that long?
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's go 3 years ago. And a variety of other topics between now and the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Would you kindly take it back to me?
Welcome back to the show. This is Reiner's band, Rapture Twins. This is the tribute to BioShock.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, you are a one-hit wonder because you've created one song.
That's better than not being a one-hit wonder.
I suppose.
We got something.
Yes. We've got three callers, and I want to get to your calls. Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to prioritize your calls over some of the other things I've got on my to-do list here, beginning with Todd, who wants to go back to Destiny 2. Hi, Todd.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Actually, I want to hit on Knack 2, actually, first.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Wow. I didn't think anybody else would care. That's great.
Well, I'm a father of an 11-year-old, and we played the original Knack.
Yeah.
And my son loved it.
All right.
We both played the demo this weekend, and we think it's a lot of fun. Yes, the character's boring, but you know what? Nothing is as fun as playing co-op with a kid, and there's not a lot of options, especially Switch has very few co-op couch games, mm-hmm. which is just crazy.
I agree.
But my son is a Destiny devotee now. He's better than me. But my biggest problem with Destiny 2 is they didn't add any new classes, which is just weird. There's nothing to do with your ship. And also, I just kind of felt like it feels like more of the same. I know they tweaked it, but do you really feel like it's a sequel versus just more DLC?
Yeah, I do. I think they did some significant stuff with combat and the enemy encounters, the world itself, you know, what kind of missions you're taking on. I definitely do think it has a very different feel once you get into it. But, you know, I don't think that ship's ever going to do anything. I don't think there's going to be like Star Wars trench runs or anything like that, or, you know, it being a home you can be on. I think that's just kind of something that you get. You can kind of collect, personalize it a little bit. But it is just there for narrative purposes and to look cool while you're loading a new map or something like that. I really don't think it's going to be like the Sparrow, which is your speeder bike. I really don't see that being a part of the game.
Well, that's a shame. I wish it did. I just felt like, you know, Bungie did Space Combat in one of the Halos, and that was always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it just feels like a loading screen. You look at it, and it's just not much.
I will say this. This is a bit of a spoiler, but you will be getting in tanks in Destiny 2. So maybe there is the chance Destiny 3 or 4, 10 years from now, whatever it ends up being, maybe they open it up a little bit more like Halo, where it's more about vehicles and gunplay. But right now, Destiny is very, very much about just the gunplay and those class-based systems.
So I played as a Warlock in number one. Should I switch?
Yeah, you should switch just so you get the different experience, right?
Yeah.
Go be a Titan.
I think I should.
I think you should. You know, broaden out. You know, try something new and exciting. For sure.
Guys, we love the show. I recommend you to everybody I know.
Oh, thank you, Todd. If I had a giveaway, I'd give you one. I'm sorry I don't. But thank you for calling in. Thank you.
That's a big week for that household, by the way.
That
not only are he and his son going to be playing Destiny 2.
And Knack.
But Knack, yeah. Take a break. Play some Knack.
You touched on the phrase load screen. And we made mention of this like a year ago, year and a half ago, when the Konami-owned patent that said that you couldn't put any action on a load screen had expired, and we were excited to finally see somebody put something on a load screen, and it didn't happen. I just found the first game that has action on a load screen. Everybody's Golf lets you practice your three-button golf swing mechanic during the load screens.
There you go. It's finally happening.
It's finally happening. Developers, you need to keep this. Start doing this.
Have you started playing that, by the way?
I have.
And?
Kato's review is dead on. He gave it a 7 out of 10. There are a ton of things to like about Everybody's Golf, which, if people don't know, is the game that used to be called Hot Shots Golf in North America. It's only on PlayStation, and it's a second-party game. It's a really good golf simulator that is kind of cartoony in appearance, so people tend to disregard it. But it's got all the great mechanics of the previous Hotshot games. But there's just these moronic decisions that they've made with them. Like, I've now banked into this thing like 6 hours of play, and I've played probably 8, 9, 10 rounds of golf. It hasn't unlocked anything other than the first 9 holes of the first course.
What?
So all I have done is played the first 9 holes of the first course. And then if I go online, I only have access to the first 9 holes of the first course. I can't even imagine how anybody's playing the later courses for a game that's only been out a week. It progresses you and unlocks so painful. And by the way, because I've played Hot Shots for 10 years, I'm killing the game. I mean, I'm slaughtering the course. And it's not unlocking anything for me.
Not even the back 9.
Not even the back 9 of the first course.
Huh.
That's ridiculous. When you play online, all character advancement halts. So you only get to improve your character and progress your character and unlock new clubs and balls and outfits and all that stuff when you're offline. The whole point of this game was to encourage you to go online and play with other people. And that it utterly halts all of your development, which makes no sense. It's not like I'm playing against you, Reiner, and said you can like let me win. It's golf.
Never gonna happen.
You have nothing to do with my game. You can't change whether or not I shoot badly or I shoot well.
Huh.
So there are just some dumb decisions in this game, Everybody's Golf for PS4.
You know what this sounds like?
What's that?
Wait a year on this one. I'm going to hold out and see what happens with the DLC.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they patch in a better, you know, like, system for unlocks.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it just sounds like a grind. That doesn't sound like a 7 out of 10 to me. For you, at least, it sounds like...
The underlying mechanics are still awesome. The graphics look like a PS3 game, not a PS4 game. Although, they claim that it's in 4K with HDR, but, you can't, you know, it doesn't look any different. So, yeah, that part's disappointing. Let's go back to the phones. Brian, thank you for your patience. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm extremely honored. So, first off, I got to say, I played Hot Shots Golf on PS2 for
years
with my buddies.
Nice.
I love that game.
Yeah.
I love the taunting aspect of it, too.
Yeah.
Kind of underrated, I think.
Yeah, and it's in there still. But, you can do that. My brother and I were taunting each other, trying to disrupt each other's swings and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. So, I'm going to pick that one up. But my question is, I just went from the PS2 to the PS4 about a month and a half ago, and I bought Horizon Zero Dawn by the
It's so good. It's great.
Loved it. I beat it like on level like 48.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking for another game that's like it. What would you guys recommend?
It sounds like you missed the entire previous generation, PS3 generation. I would recommend the game, the prequel to the game that is on Game Informer's cover this month, which is Middle Earth: Shadow of War. It is based in the Lord of the Rings universe, so it is a licensed product, but it has some of the best open world combat and mechanics for questing of any open world game. There's not a lot like Horizon Zero Dawn. That's what makes it so special, right?
I know. There's nothing like that.
But I would say Middle Earth is probably the next best thing out there if you are looking for an open world game with really tight combat.
If it doesn't have to be an open world game, I would immediately point you to all of the great Uncharted games that you've missed, Brian, by not having a PS3. And then the PS4 versions, Uncharted 4, and then the brand new one, Lost Legacy, that just came out last week.
And if you like that, go to Last of Us.
Yeah.
Right. Would you recommend going through every Uncharted, or can I jump right to the latest one?
I would, if I could do it all again, I'd skip the first one. I would go from 2 forward. I thought the first one was good. The second one, 2, 3, and 4 are all awesome. Like, you know, 9, 5, or 10 out of 10 style games.
Yeah, some of the best games ever made.
Yep. And you can get, they've all been up-resed or whatever for PS4. So you can get the Uncharted series for PS4 that gives you 1, 2, and 3 in one, you know, in one disc.
If that sounds daunting, I would go the other way. Same developer, Naughty Dog, go with The Last of Us. Start off with that one. It's only one game, and it is phenomenal.
I like Uncharted a lot better, but that's just me.
What?
I know. Most people think I'm crazy. Hey, Brian, don't be a stranger, okay?
Thank you. Just really quickly, what about Witcher 3?
Haven't played that yet.
Very different game.
Stop everything.
Well, it's
open world. It's
PS4. It's an RPG.
It's awesome. Best RPG ever made. So, okay. Stop. I want to rewind everything we just said. Go get Witcher 3 right now.
I'm not changing my result. You want a new open world game, get Middle of Earth.
That's what's not new. It's 3 years old.
Yeah, but it's new for him.
Witcher 3 is a better game.
That's like 3 years old, too.
I know, but it's better than Shadow of Mordor, which is a good game, too. All right, Brian, you got a lot to chew on there.
Buy them all.
Yeah, have fun with that. GameStop will be your friend. You can get all these used. Cheap. Tony, hello.
Hi, long-time listener. Hi, Charge.
Hi.
Right
now.
Hello.
Hey, it's funny, a little walk in memory lane. About 2 years ago, I was on a walk where I am right now asking Reiner if there'd be a sequel to Shadow of Mordor.
And how about that?
If you remember that or not. But
here we are today. Yeah.
Here we are today. I had a question about Call of Duty World War II. Just wanted to know if you think, I haven't been a real fan of the more recent ones. It's just really fast-paced, twitchy, a little crazy. Do you really feel like this is going to be slower, or are they just going to translate it into the fast-paced stuff with the World War II setting? And then I had one question after that when you answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, I do think you're going to get a blend of both. I know they are trying to appease everyone, mm-hmm. you know, the new gen and the old, especially in the campaign. I think you're really going to see a nice mix. Multiplayer is the big question mark in how they handle that. It is very fast-paced from what I've seen so far. I saw my boss, Andy McNamara, going against Team Optic, one of the best Call of Duty teams ever. It was hilarious.
Was it a slaughter?
Oh, he would spawn and you'd go through a house and instant, like, no bullets didn't hit his body. I did not see a bullet go astray. But it looked intense, and it looked very much in line with where the series is at in terms of pace. But again, if your interest lies in single player, I think you'll be pleased with where they're going on that one.
Okay. The other quick question, evidence, it's really dumb, but a while back I had won a giveaway and I just never got over to the office to pick it up, but it'd still be there waiting for me. Am I out of luck? They just recycle those if you take too long.
It
was a while back.
I gotta believe that at some point they probably assumed you weren't coming, Tony.
Okay.
I encourage you to just call in early next week. We'll still have more giveaways and we'll set you up with something.
Oh, it wasn't. I mean, I don't call him for that. I mean, that's, we all think, I'm sure everyone likes to win them, but it's just a great show, and I'm glad you guys have been keeping it running all this time.
Aw, thank you,
thanks.
Tony.
Have a good night, guys.
Appreciate it.
You too.
Isn't that nice? 10 years we've been on the air. Everybody said the show would never make it, and here we are, 10 years later. Relic Entertainment and Microsoft announced Age of Empires 4. Reiner. This is, I wanted to get this last week. We didn't have time. There are so many people who love the Age of Empires series, but we haven't had a new one. Do you know how long it's been since Age of Empires 3?
28 years.
28 and a half.
Wow.
It's been a decade. A decade since Age of Empires 3. Now, for people who don't remember Age of Empires, it's like Civilization, but real time. So you start with a bunch of cavemen and pointy sticks, and you eventually end up building out an empire spanning ages all the way to the point that you're building tanks and rockets and stuff by the end. And what a great series Age of Empires was. We know that they're also going to be re-releasing up-resed versions of the previous Age of Empires, which I don't totally understand. If you got the new one coming, I don't know why you'd want to take some of the oomph out of that by releasing the old ones, but they're going to.
Yeah, maybe they're saying this new one's not very good, so here's the old ones that are still great.
Yeah.
In 4K.
Yeah, in 4K. So Age of Empires 1, the definitive edition, is coming exclusively to the Windows 10 store for $20. That's October 19th. And then they're going to re-release Age of Empires 3 and Age of Empires 2, and they're going to get the definitive editions that have upgraded visuals. Now, you may have caught this note like 2-3 weeks ago. StarCraft, the original StarCraft, just got remastered by Blizzard, and they re-released that.
Yeah, they announced it and just released it like in a day.
A day later. Yeah, you know, you weren't asking for this, but oh, by the way, here's the original StarCraft for anybody who wants to play that with shiny new graphics.
They're like, we have so much money.
Blizzard does have so much money.
We're just going to build this stuff just for you fans. I love that about them. Yeah. Diablo, like, here's a bunch of free content. Overwatch, we're not. You don't have to pay for anything outside of the initial release. Like,
no.
It's fantastic.
That part is fantastic. You know, Microsoft, I think, you know, we want to see this come out for the Xbox. The Xbox just so desperately needs to have unique, great titles you can only play on Xbox, because the PlayStation's got a ton of those. You got MLB The Show. We just mentioned Uncharted. Horizon Zero Dawn, we just mentioned. All great games that are unique experiences. I can't play anything else like it on the Xbox. I can only play those on PlayStation. The Xbox so desperately needs a few of those. And while Age of Empires is, as a real-time strategy game, is never going to have, like, mass appeal,
right,
it would at least give you a little something different than what you can play on PlayStation.
Well, here's the thing. Just 2 days ago at PAX, which is Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle, Microsoft announced that mouse and keyboard support is coming to Xbox One.
How about that?
That what opens do you think the of that? Doors for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Especially with the Xbox One X right around the corner.
Well, so people that have been resisted going to console because they love the gameplay and the advantages, frankly, they get with keyboard and mouse. If you are good at keyboard and mouse, you have an advantage over people with a controller. Period. End of story. You do. Does this migrate, do you think, some of those people, Reiner, over to the Xbox having keyboard and mouse support?
I don't think so. What it might do, though, is migrate more games to Xbox One X. I'm hearing it is very easy to develop for and port to from games specifically like on Steam or Linux. So we might be seeing a lot of new games coming once this support is enabled. I mean, it might just be, you know, developers are porting games like Age of Empires over.
Yeah.
You know, you might see an influx of games that you normally don't see on console. The big concern with mouse and keyboard support on Xbox One is that going to transition into multiplayer games, which would give that
big advantage, right?
That would be terrible.
Somebody with keyboard and mouse would have an advantage over the 98% of the people that are playing with their controllers.
That would destroy all multiplayer.
Yeah, they're going to have to be really careful with this. I think Microsoft is. I don't know that this is as simple as it sounds, but they need differentiators on that system, and maybe that's going to be one of them. Great job, Reiner. Thank you.
Thanks.
Zach, thanks for all your help tonight. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening. If you missed any part of the show, please check out the podcast, KFAN Fan on Demand, also available on iTunes, Video Games Weekly, where we always appreciate if you leave reviews and ratings for the show. We will be back next week, and then I think maybe even the week after that, we already have Exhibition Hockey knocking us out.
Ah, no.
So, but we will be here next week for more Video Games Weekly then. Bye-bye.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look at the roads. On 35W northbound, the off-ramp is shut down at County Road I, and that's due to ongoing road work. Plus, on 494 westbound, we have a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane at Penn Avenue. The rest of the area roadways are in pretty good shape. However, we do have some overnight construction to be aware of. 35W northbound, the left lane is closed at Johnson Street. Plus, on 35W northbound, the roadway has been reduced to two lanes between 90th Street and 82nd Street, and that's traffic on the Fan. This report is brought to you by Holiday Station Stores.
Holiday's got the hottest deal in town on ice-cold Mountain Dew. Any two Mountain Dew 20-packs are just $11. Come on, Mountain Dew lovers, do it. Get any two Dew 20-packs for only $11. Only for a limited time and only at Holiday.